Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the High School Scoreboard Show. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical solution for chronic pain. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Taking it back.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's school days on the High School Scoreboard Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Into the 9 o'clock hour here on the High School Scoreboard Show, Sam Crenshaw along with Chris Parker here in our Midtown Atlanta studios on this Friday night. So glad you're with us. Been keeping up with scores and been keeping up with highlights. We got our reporters. They have things coming up for us within this hour, but also we want to get to our school days guests. Hope we have a chance to spend some time with Marcus McNeil and talk about his time at Cedar Grove and get his thoughts on what's happening now at Cedar Grove. We've been watching them, and they're playing out at Mill Creek tonight.
28-21 last time I saw.
28-21.
Tight game.
Tight ball game. Very tight ball game between two fantastic teams, big-time players, big-time recruits all over the field on both sides. So a lot of people are watching this one. They have a lot of interest in this game and how it goes. So keep an eye on that. We want to hear from one who played at Cedar Grove just a few years ago.
Just a few years ago,
and managed to come to some things. And he joins us now. We're welcoming Marcus McNeil into the High School Scoreboard Show. You're on now with Sam and Chris. Welcome to the Scoreboard Show, Marcus.
Hey, what's up, Sam? What's up, Chris?
How's it going, Marcus? We're glad to have you.
Hey, man, I'm good, man. I'm good. Y'all living the life, Friday Night Lights, baby.
That's right, Friday Night Lights. Cedar Grove a little different now than it was when you play. You guys had a good team, but now nationally good. How's that make you feel?
Oh, man. Hey, proud. You know what I'm saying? I'm a saint forever, baby. So, you know, I always love to see them doing good, man. And over the past couple of years, I've had a great time of being able to go and watch them get some state championships, man, and kind of fend off some of those Southwest DeKalb Panthers that used to always talk that noise about Quincy Carter and they bunch.
I knew it was going there. I didn't know how long it was going to take them to
two
get
minutes.
There.
Who had less than two
less
minutes?
Less than 2 minutes. They already talked about Southwest DeKalb.
Hey, you know what it did, baby.
We spent a time with Marcus McNeil, who was a Super 11 with the AJC during his time at Cedar Grove. Talk about the Robbers and talk about you were playing football in DeKalb County at that time. There were a lot of good players and some really good teams.
Yeah, definitely, man. You know, the rivalries and stuff around DeKalb County were always ones that, you know, we look forward to. You know, you play football with guys growing up, you know, in the parks, Gresham Park, Glenwood Hills, DYJ, you know, and we all go our separate ways in high school. But you always know who you're playing against. So, you know, those games on Friday nights were, you know, as big as NFL or college football games to us. And it's really where it all started at, you know. So those games, man, were like no other. We were always a 3A school. So whenever we got a chance to play a school that was ranked above us, you know, like a Southwest DeKalb. Well, I didn't play Southwest. We played Stevenson. We got a chance to play Stevenson. That was a big game for us, you know. McNair, just all the way around the board, man. DeKalb kind of just had so much talent that, you know, we just had a fun time playing every weekend.
Marcus, what single moment stands out as the best moment or your favorite moment from your time playing at Cedar Grove?
Oh man, that's easy. That's easy. Let me set the stage for you real quick. Well, we playing the number 3 Stevenson Jaguars. You know, we a small unranked 3A team at the time. You know, nobody really gave us a chance. Well, we playing over at Memorial Stadium is what they used to call it, over mm-hmm. Memorial Drive. they changed it up a little bit now, but we were the underdogs. You know, we weren't ranked in 3A. You know, Stevenson had a lot. They had Reggie Ball, you know, they had two or three Craig Lumpkin. They had DeMario Mentor, guys that went to Georgia, Georgia Tech. So they were full of D1 talent. But, man, we came in there, overmatched, and we weren't undersized because we had a 300-pound line. But we were trying to figure out how to get some offense going because our running backs were down. So I remember talking to my dad, and I was like, Dad, why, man, y'all just give me the ball. Let me do something, you know. So the game is tight. They were like, all right, we're going to see what we can do. So we had a plan, and the game is tight. So I come back out of halftime, and they throw me a number 90 instead of the 73 that y'all see me rocking all the way to the NFL. They throw me a number 90 jersey on so I could be an eligible receiver. Man, they line me up in the backfield, man, and tell me just to go up the seam, baby. You know what I'm saying? They throw me a couple of balls, man. I scored once, you know what I'm saying? Had another about 50-yard catch, you know, probably about two catches for a buck 10, you know. We can go pull it up now. They got Google, you know what I'm saying? so then we ended up beating the number 3 team in the state at the time, the Stevens and Jaguars, you know, on a couple of those catches that I made, man. But that was probably a highlight of my senior season, you know, the first and only touchdown I caught in the game, you know. So
they might should have thrown you a few more, Marcus.
We tried to do it again against Mays, but I think they were prepared for it. They saw me put the number 90 jersey on, like I came out like Superman. And they were like, hey, they throwing it to him. So,
well, here's the thing.
One-on-one coverage, I got tackled by 8 of them.
Nobody wants to tackle him. I'm just telling you.
I know.
If you can get him the ball, nobody wants to tackle this Super 11 O-lineman. But I'm glad that even the elite O-linemen, even the guys that go to SEC and NFL, they just like all the other O-linemen I coach, they always want the football. They always think they can run it.
Hey, man. Hey, I knew I could run it. I just needed a chance to get the ball in my hand. I was lobbying to try and get me a punt return or a kickoff return in there one time. But they were like, hey, calm down.
Folks, we're spending time with Marcus McNeil. Obviously, a two-time Pro Bowler with the Chargers and All-American, two-time All-American at Auburn University. But before all that, he was at Cedar Grove in DeKalb County. And I guess, you know, this area is so well-recruited. Marcus, thoughts about the guys who are playing now on Friday nights, not just at Cedar Grove, but all around the area. Some of them are being recruited. What are your wish for them, you know, and what advice do you have to pass along to them?
I think the best advice that I have to pass along to the next generation, because I love what they're doing. You know, I don't want them to try and be me or, you know, I want them to be themselves, you know, create their own path and find their own way. But in doing that, be prepared to step up on each level of football you go up to. We all aspire to make it to the NFL, and we know everybody can't make it there. But at the same time, going from high school to college, you have to prepare yourself mentally and physically to reestablish yourself as a great player on every level. So when you finish your high school career, you go into college, you know, not with this badge of honor, like I'm the best, you know, player from my town. I'm the best player in the state, all that. You have to prove yourself again. You know, you have to go and strap it on again. You know, really get dirty, really get down there and play football the way it's supposed to be played so that you can rise to the top like cream, like you're supposed to be. All the kids in the CAD County, man, are so talented right now. To be honest, this generation is, I see so much talent, you know, more talent than what we had even growing up because they train a lot earlier. They're getting into football a lot earlier than we did. You know, it was just a game for us. And now, you know, they're taking it so serious that I think it's raising the level of play across the board. So I'm excited about these guys, but just be prepared to step it up each level you go to.
That's 100% accurate. The talent is so much different now, in part because of the training and what they expected. But Marcus, when did you know you were going to be, you know, an SEC, a big time player? I think people are identifying them way younger now. When did you know?
I mean, When did I know?
When
I
they knew, offered you, right?
I knew from yeah. If you're an athlete, you know from the get go. You know, it's a mentality that you have to have. You know, and not just a mentality, but you got to have that competitive edge. You know, you have to be competitive. You have to want to win. You have to want to be the best. You know, so I think it just kind of progressed with me through my whole life. You know, from watching, you know, TV on the couch or football games, you know, on Thanksgiving with my uncles and my dad, you know, and all my family, and seeing and wanting to be there. So I visualized it first, you know, mentally, you know, the catches I wanted to make, the runs, how I wanted to hit somebody, you know. And then I just kept on seeing myself in that light my whole life, you know. So it was a natural progression for me the whole way, you know. It was just like I said before, every time I took a step to the next stage, now I had to reassess where I was at, you know, figure out how I could get better, and then raise my play to match where I was at. So, you know, it was just a constant growth going on in my game.
Well, we're spending time on school days tonight. Spend some time with Marcus McNeil, and he is social. You can find him on Twitter at Marcus McNeil 73. Still loves that number 73. Marcus McNeil, yeah, 73.
Coach Tuberville should have put him in that 90 and thrown him the ball a couple times.
Hey, man, I was trying. Believe me, I lobbied everywhere I went. I lobbied there. You know, Tub didn't want trying to hit. It was probably because we had as much talent. We had Ronnie Brown, you know, Carnell Williams, Brandon Jacobs in the backfield. They ain't think about getting me the ball. They trying to divide the pie between them. So I don't think I made it there. And then when I made it to the NFL and they finally put the tackle eligible in, I think I danced so hard at when I scored during training camp, that they were like, "Nah, we can't throw him the ball. That's gonna be 15 yards automatic. That's an automatic 15-yard penalty." So I think I scratched my own name off that list.
Marcus, there are a lot of guys who've come through the halls of Cedar Grove who look to duplicate what you did this spring. Not one, but two Cedar Grove alums who drafted to play for the Atlanta Falcons to get to play in the National Football League here in their hometown, and their cousins. Justin Schaefer and D'Angelo Malone. Everyone out there is so, so proud of these young people. Thoughts about that? You know, not just, you know, to play in your hometown, but you got your kinfolk out there with you.
Well, man, it ain't nothing. I felt like a proud daddy or uncle when both of them got drafted. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Like, one thing you got to know about Cedar Grove, we a family, man. Same pride forever, you know. To see those guys, you know, I think they were actually on the first, you know what I'm saying, Cedar Grove team that won the state championship. And I remember going to talk to those guys, you know, halftime and just to see them go from, you know, these boys to now growing up to a man and being able to make it to the NFL, it's nothing better. And Debo, that's what we call him over there, you know what I'm saying, Malone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Debo has been balling out, you know what I'm saying, and I want to see him continue to do what he's doing. Justin Schaefer is probably one of the most, you know, hardworking offensive linemen that I know. And not even only that, he's just a great teammate. You know, he sat there at Georgia and waited his turn, you know, to get his chance to play. Mm-hmm. And what did he end up with? A national championship at UGA. I have so much respect for that young man because so many times I see guys go to certain colleges or schools, and when it's not their turn, they don't have the patience to wait, you know, sometimes, and they jump ship and go other places. Everybody has a right to do that, but, you know, I think I have a little bit more respect for those guys who trust the process, trust the decision that they made, you know what I'm saying, and work hard to get where they want to be. So I'm looking for great things from both of those young men.
Fantastic, fantastic, man. This is it's been time well spent and great time, Coach.
I can listen to Marcus all day.
Yeah.
I liked it. Except for going to Auburn. You know, I went to Alabama. So
oh, yeah, that's
except,
another thing.
Except the Auburn thing. Other than
oh,
that.
Oh, what? Hold on. Back up. What? Hold on.
No, look, I respect
it. We ain't got no roll title.
Well, here's what happened, Marcus. We took it on the chin. I was with them way, but you know, before your day, during your day. I've been around a lot of losses to Auburn, so I'm all about it. You know, I respected those Auburn teams. Some of the best teams to come out of college football, Marcus played on. Yeah. I can say
Yeah. Well, y'all got that hit stick right now, so I can't, you know, I'm not even going to act like I know football now. And I ain't going to claim what I can't claim now. Right now, y'all up there. Y'all on top of the mountain.
Yep. They're doing great things, but we appreciate you spending some time us on this Friday night. Always great to hear from you. And great to keep up with the things you're doing. I know you've been doing some of what we're doing right here. You've been doing some broadcasts too, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, you got to stay in it. When you love football, you don't really get away from it. And I can sit around and talk about football all day. So it just makes sense for me to go and put it on the microphone one time.
Yeah. Awesome.
Fantastic. Marcus, thanks so much for the time. Always great catching up with you. And hope to catch up with you next time you get to come home.
Hey, man, definitely. You guys keep on doing a great job, man. I love you guys' show. And, man, y'all keep on doing your thing.
Thanks, Marcus.
All right. That is Marcus McNeil. The pride of Cedar Grove High School. He still keeps up with the Saints.
This is a man. I mean, I ain't talking no trash about Auburn to his face, you know. But they played with some of the best players at Auburn. They have a great football team at Auburn. Goes to the NFL, plays with a great NFL team in charge. I mean, that's LaDainian Tomlinson, sets every record. And maybe, he was pretty good too. Maybe that's why, you know, they got all those yards running the ball. And he was a part of that too. One of the best players to come out of down here. Yeah. Because the lineman, a lot of people don't know. But one of the best players to come out of here.
Yeah. And it's great for him to spend some time and share some of those memories with us tonight here from school days. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, coming up next, we're going to find out about some rankings and where teams from Georgia and Metro Atlanta land is coming up. We're going to find out that when the High School Football America, Jeff Fisher, that's coming up. When you stay with us for the High School Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keeping it local with the High School Scoreboard Show. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical solution for chronic pain. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sandy Creek High School Band playing here on the High School.
What band?
Sandy Creek High School.
Who picks the music?
Look at it. That's all he can do right now because he's busy. Got a lot of stuff going on. We're looking at Dylan Matthews on the other side of the glass. Of course, that is his school. We welcome you back inside the High School Scoreboard Show. Just enjoyed our time talking with Marcus McNeil, talking about his time at Cedar Grove and just the things that helped to make him success and his wishes for the kids who are out here playing now on Friday night.
He was fantastic.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. Lowndes just scored. Sam, they were down 28-13, just scored to make it 28. Oh, we got a fake on the 2-point. Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Did he get in? Yes. How about that? 2-point conversion, Lowndes, 28-21.
28-21.
East Coweta. How about that?
Yeah. That's a great game. That's a game that's being shown statewide on GPB tonight, and it's a really good one, but we got a number of really good ball games that are going on. And Alpharetta is going on. Milton's up now 23-21.
Simone's got a good one. You need to follow that on Twitter because it's happening so fast we can't even keep up.
Yeah, she's got that. And also Eric Slaughter found the concession stand too. So if you follow him, East Slaughter for real.
I knew Eric would come through. I didn't want to sound like a
doubt. He wasn't going to let us down.
He did make it to halftime. And barbecue chicken was the ticket, Eric. I watched his video. The barbecue chicken, that's what you want to go with.
That's what you want to go to. As we always look for the best food, Eric finds it. I tell you, someone else who puts together rankings and keeps an eye on high school football year-round and always great when we can catch up with him. Jeff Fisher joins us now. And welcome back to the High School Scoreboard Show, Jeff, from High School Football America.
Appreciate it. How you doing tonight? I'm listening to you guys. You're doing the job you always do, man. I don't know how you do it. That's a long time to crank on Friday Night Lights, but good to be with both you and Chris.
We appreciate you. Appreciate it. I've just got a lot to say, Jeff. That's part of it. I've just had a.
I'm ready.
No, I fully was prepared to ask why Buford was 3-1, but they're trailing at halftime, so it buried my entire argument.
Trust me, I keep hitting that going, you know, because I do take pride in the algorithm. I keep refreshing, going, uh-oh. And when I heard you give that score there, I was like, oh, man. But let's have some fun. Let me just say this, because I remember last year around this time, you're like, where is Georgia? We do have 3 teams in the top 25, 33 in the top 300. So now you can go.
33. That is impressive. And listen, if you don't know about High School Football America, you need to get on there. You need to test it. This thing is awesome. Yeah. I love it. We just give Jeff a hard time. The reality is stuff is very accurate. It's actually very accurate. And what I want to know is, how does a team – so let me just throw a team out there. Grayson, for example. Grayson is really good, has been for 15 years or 12 years or so. But at one point, they were a brand-new school or they hadn't quite won yet. At what point do you guys get people on your radar that maybe weren't that team, like Grayson 12 years ago? Now they're always on the radar. How does a team through this algorithm get into the top 300 of thousands and thousands and thousands of teams?
The algorithm does what, you know, it's supposed to evaluate what's going on the field. And obviously, if you make deep runs and or win state championships, obviously that kind of catches it. There is a kind of a legacy thing in the algorithm. So obviously, if you're winning championships or getting Final Fours or state semifinals, we're going to find you out. And then the other thing, you know, and people ask me this all the time, especially when they're saying, well, Jeff, you know, the opinion polls have people here, there, and everywhere. A lot of times the opinion polls, and I'm not going to pick on any of them because I have relationships with all of these great, ranking services, they're looking for readers, right? Mm-hmm. And not that we're not looking for readers, but, you know, sometimes, like I remember years ago, USA Today had Martinsburg, West Virginia in the top 25. Great program the Bulldogs have there, but it's West Virginia. They're not a top 25 team.
Yep.
Now, the good news is a lot of teams do go, you know, and play out-of-state opponents like Grayson just beat, back-to-back opponents from South Carolina and all that. And that goes a long way as well. But ultimately, to answer your question, it's simply this. If you're getting it done on the field, if you're winning some gold, you're going to be noticed.
Well, just this week, Brunswick, Parkview, and Cedartown all entered the top 300.
Okay.
And Brunswick especially, and probably Cedartown, are fairly new to being that high up.
Right. Brunswick last week, they beat the bowl school.
Beat the bowl school.
Down in Jacksonville. Right.
And Creekside beat East St. Louis, who Jeff had at number 44, which is big. I mean, you got to remember how many tens of thousands of teams there are. You're 44. That's really something.
It is.
And so that was a big win for Creekside.
No, there's no doubt about that. Well, and you know, and Creekside's getting it done. You know, people are asking, why is Creekside so high? It's their strength of schedule. I mean, come on. I heard you guys say it earlier tonight. You know, you got to have that Georgia pride, right? Who are you beating out of state? And right now, the people from the Peach State are doing a pretty darn good job. I mean, East St. Louis almost, and they could have beaten the number 4 team in the nation, St. Francis Academy, which many believe is like a notch below IMG Academy out of Florida. So, you know, shout out to that. Brunswick beat a very good bowls team that was somewhere around number 150. So they deserve it. I mean, Georgia football in our algorithm right now, I kind of did a little bit of a study before I hopped on here to see where everything is. So you got Florida with 49 teams in the top 300, Texas with 39, Georgia with 33. However, for the first time ever, when you look at the entire state compilation, not the 300, but every team in the state, Florida's the best state in the nation right now. Georgia, never been this high. They've been 3, but tonight I can tell you they're the second best state in high school football through 4 weeks of the season.
We need to cut that up, Dylan. We need where Jeff said we were better than Texas.
I know, that's right, and California.
That's what he said. Now, cut that up. So.
Better than Texas and California.
Speaking of those teams, though, Jeff, what's the best win somebody's gotten all year? I mean, it doesn't have to be Georgia. Anywhere.
Yeah, you know, boy, that's hard to say. I'm going to go, not because I'm on your show tonight, but Creekside's win over East St. Louis is big. I mean, East St. Louis will play anybody, anywhere. I mean, they've gone out, they've played St. John Bosco from California. Like I said, they almost beat St. Francis. Creekside's got to be kind of up there. I'm trying to rack my brain. I didn't expect that question. I'll keep thinking as I talk here, but I got to say that's somewhere definitely near the top. Well, probably the top.
Right. Okay. All
and
right.
Modern Day's had a great win, I know. I know they're at the top. St. John Bosco at the top. So I know there's been some great wins. IMG, not at the top right now. That's a little different.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got a new coach. You know, Pepper Johnson left after 1 year. You know, they didn't have a great year last year. They won our national championship in 2020. They're one of those programs, and, you know, we can talk long and hard about recruiting and all that. But, I mean, Auburn and Alabama almost beat them last year, and not the juggernaut they used to be. I'm not saying they're a bad football program by any stretch of the imagination, but Miami Central, a great program from South Florida, knocked them off in the season opener, and that wasn't an upset. Miami Central is year in and year out, you know, filled with studs that go on to play at, you know, Division One, Two, and Three. It's just a great program there. So, but yeah, I mean, Southern California right now is probably the strongest in the rankings at the right. top, because you've got one and two being Modern Day and St. John Bosco, and everybody's waiting for them to play, you know, game one of what usually is a two-game series each year coming up on October 7th. So, you know, Buford fans, if we get by Carver tonight, they want to see, one win on October 7th and one beat the other, and we might be talking a natty for the Wolves. Who knows? But we've got a long way to go, folks. It's just neat to see Buford that high in the rankings.
Well, folks, we're spending some time with Jeff Fisher from High School Football America. It is social. You can find it on Twitter at HSFA America. HSFA America. We've seen more, and how do you feel about it, and how much are we seeing it in other states? We've marveled this season about how many games have been played by our schools against teams from other states. Tonight we're waiting for the game with Buford and Bishop Gorman.
Brookwood and
Bishop Gorman to take place out in Las Vegas. Thoughts about games like that years ago were unthinkable. Now we got so many teams that are playing teams from Georgia. Or is it the fact that where the Georgia teams are ranked make these teams want to play against teams from Georgia?
Well, I think it's a couple of things there. A, most of those teams that we all could probably name that have been, you know, year in and year out for a decade or two at the top of the rankings, the Modern Days, the St. John Boscos, the Bishop Gormans, I can go on and on. No one wants to play them. So now what's happening is, you know, when teams are having, you know, trouble getting games and all that, like, you know, Buford doesn't exactly get scheduled easily, right?
Some of
the Gwinnett County teams don't get that. So we're getting more and more of that, and it's great for me, I mean, from a standpoint of the algorithm, because you can actually kind of see how it all breaks out. You know, there's an anomaly here or there, right? Creekside is above Rome, even though Rome beat him in the first game. So I'm always interested to see when, you know, late Saturday night, I'm inputting all this information, what kind of cranks out there. But for the most part, you know, these games are great. Certainly, you know, television like ESPN helps to bring some of them together. Flow Football is doing a lot of that. They're doing things to try and bring it together. But as a pure high school football fan, and I'm not talking about, you know, watching an ESPN broadcast where every other word out of the broadcaster's mouth is about this guy's going here, this guy has this many stars. I'm just talking about watching a good old high school football game. And there's nothing better than that, and you can see a lot of it nowadays. And you can get that argument settled, right? Is Georgia better than Texas? And, I mean, Texas is licking its wounds. You mentioned them earlier. I mean, Texas has had its butt kicked by the Southern California teams. And trust me, I got a lot of friends still out there from when I lived there. And they don't let me forget that Texas got a little stomped on.
Well, we're coming into tonight, we're 53-24 against other states. I mean, I'm not counting.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay,
yeah. Who's counting?
Now,
yeah,
right?
But 53-24. So I'm assuming that number's going to go up a little bit tonight. But according to the algorithm, Bishop Gorman a little better than Brookwood, right?
Okay.
So we
okay.
Now that yeah, game's starting at 10:30. So. We got
you
a chance,
what the
Jeff.
Part of that is
what's that?
What's that?
I said, do we have a chance?
No. Hey, you always have a chance. Gorman has lost at home from an East Coast team when Miami Central went out there and beat them. Brookwood's a good football team. The hardest thing that happens in high school football, and I've seen it time and time again, when an East Coast team goes to the third time zone, it is tough because you're kicking off at what time? 10:30, 11 o'clock on your clock. And I don't care how many days you get there before that. Yes, they're teenagers. Yes, they're more resilient than this 62-year-old guy that's on the phone with you right now. But it's hard to play at 11 o'clock at night. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But that's the test we got coming up. But, Jeff, it's always great catching up with you. Thanks so much for spending some time. We're going to be keeping up with this, and we're going to have you back.
Absolutely.
As the season goes on, because we get these things are going to move around, and we got to see how Buford finishes up tonight. But we hope to get you back on, and thanks so much for always coming on and spending some time with us.
I love what you guys do. It comes from the heart. You know it, Sam, man. I've done this for a long time. I've done what you do, and I've done two-hour shows at night. What you guys do is maybe insane. I said tonight on Twitter, you guys supersize it. So congrats on how good you are, and thanks for promoting the great game of high school football. Really appreciate you guys, and I love listening to you every Friday.
All right, Jeff. Well, thanks so much, Jeff. We appreciate it. Folks, that's Jeff Fisher from High School Football America, and he's got the rankings right now. He's got Buford.
If you don't follow them, you need to. Yeah. Like, if you're a fan of this show,
yeah,
you need to follow that. They do a great job covering high school football across the country. And there is a lot of Georgia to it because Jeff lives here in Georgia now.
Yeah.
But it's a high school football haven, and it's legitimate. Like, this is legitimate stuff. Not that some of the other stuff isn't, but I can attest this is legitimate.
Very much. It's very well done. If you haven't had a chance, you can go to their website, highschoolfootballamerica.com, and check things out. The top 300, lots of teams from Georgia are in there. Maybe some more that would join in the coming weeks. But Georgia is very well represented. That is great to see. All right, we got some reporters with some reports that we want going to get to. We get Eric Slaughter to leave the concession stand and tell us what's happening.
Grilled chicken. Barbecue chicken.
The grilled barbecue chicken.
That was the ticket.
That was the best thing out of Rockdale. Yeah. Well, we're going to check in with him in a little while. And also Day-Day and also with Simone, who's seeing a great game.
Simone's got a good one.
She's got a good one tonight. We're going to hear more from them as we continue on this Friday night. You're listening to The Scoreboard Show, your high school scoreboard show, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
The Game's High School Scoreboard Show. Friday night, Under the Light. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical solution for chronic pain. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Luke High School Marching Band bringing us back on the Scoreboard Show, High School Scoreboard Show. Sam Crenshaw and Chris Parker here in our Midtown Atlanta studio. So glad you're with us on this Friday night. Man, we've had some great guests. You've given us some great reports. We're going to have more reports coming up momentarily. Run down some more scores that are coming in. Wilbert Academy having it all their way right now. Starting the fourth quarter, they're up 45-0 on Morrow. That game taking place down on the south side of town. End of the third quarter, Creekside 28, Lithia Springs 7. In that game, Burke County is up now in Oconee. Oconee's been leading pretty much in this game, but Oconee County's up 28-21. This game is in OT, in overtime,
and Oconee's got the ball trying to tie it. You think that's a good atmosphere?
That's incredible.
Down at Burke County Stadium.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Oconee, Burke County. Too. I mean, man, that's what it's all about right there.
Two great teams.
We'll keep you updated on that one.
East Coweta is up now 35-21. A little under 5 minutes to play in the third quarter. This one, I don't know. Are you surprised by that?
I'm very impressed with East Coweta. Surprised might not be the right word.
Yeah,
but I'm impressed that every time Lowndes closes it, they go down and score.
Yeah,
You know, yep. They got it to 28-21. They went down to score. You know, that's what a mature football team. We had Coach Small on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
And he talked about his team being a little more mature this year, a little bit older. You know, played a lot of young guys last year. And you can kind of see it in the maturity of how they handle. We talked about kickoff on the coach's checklist brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. And but when you just gave up a touchdown, you got to get that kickoff return team out there. You got to go score another touchdown.
Got to respond.
East Coweta just did that. Says a lot about him. Kennesaw Mountain up 38-23 over Harrison right now.
Okay. All right.
Hillgrove 29, Campbell 7. We got Pickens and Christian Heritage 18-16. Pickens still winning.
Pickens still
hanging
winning.
In there.
Homecoming.
Distractions.
No distractions. South Gwinnett has come back. They've been trailing Decatur in this game tonight. Third quarter score. South Gwinnett is up 24-14 now on Decatur.
South Gwinnett's been a second half team, haven't they? We followed them all week. It feels like they
really
get behind
have.
And they
Isn't
come
that
back. Yeah, they just kind of hang in there. And Central Gwinnett Miller Grove tied at 21.
Ooh.
Those distractions. Yo.
You're trying to get somewhere you haven't been since 1980.
It's not going to come easy.
No.
I mean, it's 21-21. They got a great chance, but
yeah.
It's not going to come easy. And winning does not come easy.
Out of Paulding County, East Paulding 20, South Paulding 17, third quarter score in that game. Got Sequoia up 12-0 on Etowah.
Etowah undefeated.
Yeah.
That could be, you know, Etowah's had a nice
third
start.
Third quarter score there.
That could be a good win for Sequoia. How about Thomasville up 28-7 over Tift County? Tift County struggling this year, but traditionally a powerful team. Lee County lost a tough one last week to Colquitt.
Right.
Comes back, goes down to Lake Gibson, Florida. Another one of them out-of-state teams, and they're up 41-0. So Lee County got back right.
What is it about the out-of-state that seems to bring out the best in our folks? Why is
well,
that?
It might be that we only highlight the good ones because, like, Strom Thurmond in South Carolina is beating Evans 23-0, but
yeah.
I don't normally bring those up.
Strom Thurmond. I know about Strom Thurmond. I've covered the Strom Thurmond Rebels before, and they're coming over into Georgia playing Evans. That's right on the
line. Yeah, those schools are actually fairly close.
They're not that far away, right on the Savannah River there.
Paulding County's beaten Noonan 24-10. That's an interesting score. Paulding County having a nice season so far.
Kennesaw Mountain, we talked about them and what they've been doing. 31-23 over Harrison, third quarter score. You figure this would be a pretty good ball game. Two teams are not that far, the schools are not too far away from each other.
Yeah, Kennesaw Mountain's really been rolling. That's one they need to win. They've moved up to 7A. They were in 6A last year.
Mm-hmm.
Moved up to 7A and be interesting how they can do. They just scored again to make it 38-24 or 38-23.
LaGrange is up 17-10 on Stars Mill. We'll talk with Coach Glisson. He's at that game.
Yeah, Coach Glisson gave a better
update.
We might need if that coaching doesn't work out for him, we'll put him out there with Day Day and Simone and all them. He did a good job telling us what was happening.
He's not going to give up getting a visit with Nick Saban like that, though. He's not going to give that up.
He's going to make that Day-Day money, Mike. You know him?
That might get him to do it. Let's see. Adairsville is up on Lakeview Fort Oglethorpe. 28-7 is fine. That's the second quarter score in that one. The game has to be farther along than that now, but that's what score we have. Loganville, undefeated up on Winder Barrel, 27-14. That's a fourth quarter score.
How about North Cobb and Northside tied at 17? You know, great North Cobb quarterback, Malachi Singleton, not playing.
Yep.
But Coach Queen wouldn't let that be an excuse. They had a great ball game. Northside's got a good team now. They went to the last play with Warner Robbins, 17-17. Looks like Oconee scored in overtime to tie it, an eligible receiver downfield.
No.
Got called back. One of those movie moments. They scored.
Yeah.
Everybody cheers.
Yeah.
There's a flag on the play. Brought it back.
Oh, wow.
3rd and 10.
Not good.
That's
not
a killer good. Right there.
That now. Is. That hurts. North Oak County over Madison County. That's 42-0. And that one. North Springs leading Midtown. That's a 30-0 third quarter score. Now, when Dunwoody is the final, Dunwoody 48-0 over Northview, that game is over.
Dunwoody's had a couple nice wins so far this year.
They have. Congratulations
to Dunwoody.
Perry over Peach County, 21-0, fourth quarter.
Perry's got a good team.
Peach County's no slouch now.
Yeah, Peach County's got a good team. Peach County, Perry, Jones County, House County, all of them kind of played each other, and they've all had different results. Some of the results don't make sense, you know.
Right.
And it's because all of them are pretty good. Allatoona 22, Creekview 21, late in the fourth. That's a good one. Coming down to the wire.
I got a third quarter score here. Irwin County 21, Rockmart 7.
No. Irwin County, man. That place, and they don't have 25 you know, people live there, and they got 20 good football players every year, don't they?
That place is something else, man.
They are really, really good. They do a great job coaching, great community support, all the way from back when they won the state championship with Coach. And
yeah.
Coach Noble told them to meet them at the red light.
How about that? The one. The one.
Can't say that here in Midtown.
No, you can't. You can't say that, but they can say it there, that is for sure. Got some updates now. Let's check in with some of our reporters. Day-Day Lewis, let's get an update from him.
This is a live sideline report.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, High School Scoreboard Show with Sam Crenshaw and Chris Parker. I'm Day-Day Lewis live at Douglas County High School. We are at the start of the fourth quarter. Believe it or not, guys, no one found the end zone in the third quarter. But here at the start of the fourth quarter, Douglas County, oh, off the post, goes for a field goal to add to their lead, but they won't do it. It doesn't happen. So 28-7, still your score. 4 seconds into the fourth quarter. I'll be keeping you updated on this one. From Douglas County High School for the High School Scoreboard Show with Sam Crenshaw and Chris Parker. I'm Day-Day Lewis with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so you know things always
hit
break.
Hit the post.
Hit the post. While Day-Day's doing his report.
I wouldn't expect any less.
Hit the post. There's something always breaking loose when he's got a report. Great to get that report from him. All right, Dylan Clearfield joined us a couple of weeks ago, keeping an eye on things with Norcross. Let's check in with Dylan right now.
This is a live sideline report.
What's up? I'm Dylan Clearfield reporting for 92.9 The Game High School Football Scoreboard Show here at Discovery High School, where the Discovery Titans are hosting the Norcross Blue Devils. Norcross leads currently 23-0 with just about 30 seconds left in the first half of this one. Touchdowns have been scored by Nakai Poole, A.J. Watkins, and Zion Taylor off of the punt return. Norcross also forced a safety off of a high snap on a punt from Discovery. Everything's coming up Norcross here. Again, 23-0. Halftime's about to be coming up. I'll keep you updated as the game goes on. Sam and Chris, back to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dylan Clearfield, keeping us up with things with Norcross.
Norcross got a good team. Yeah, we'll be following them all year. We saw them in the Corky Kell, lost a tough one, but they're going to make a playoff run. It's a lot of good teams in 7A right now. It's going to be really interesting to see how they match up when we get late in the season.
All right. Let's check in with Simone Stanley. She is watching a real good game up in North Fulton County.
This is a live sideline report.
After a scoreless first quarter, the Alpharetta Raiders are now up 14-10 over the visiting Milton Eagles. And guys, remember all that defense I was talking up in the first quarter? Well, I jinxed it. I completely jinxed the defense because that is completely out the window. 4 out of the 6 drives in the second quarter resulted in a score. For the Raiders, it was quarterback Ben Guthrie that threw a pair of touchdown passes. One was to junior receiver Scott Wilson, and the other was to their 4-star sophomore receiver, tight end hybrid Ethan Barber. Both of those touchdown passes were caught in the corner of the end zone. That is looking like the sweet spot for the Raiders quarterback. Now, for the Eagles, they scored on the ground courtesy of their 205-pound running back. He's listed as a running back, but he's built like a linebacker. His name is Scott Moskowitz. Either way, he's fine. He found the end zone for the Eagles, y'all. It's going to be a shootout. It looks like Alpharetta, and anytime it's a shootout, I always say whoever scored first has the upper hand, and that was the Raiders. I am Simone Stanley for the High School Scoreboard Show. Sam and Chris, back to you guys.
All right, thanks a lot. Simone stands is in a game that the pace really picked up after a slow start as far as scoring goes.
That's a great environment. That's a good one. Simone got a good game this week. It's going to be interesting to go into the wire back and forth. Milton, Alpharetta, man, that could be a statement win for Alpharetta. It could be a win to get Milton rolling. You know, Milton started out playing a couple teams from out of state that they lost.
Right.
You know, and really tough teams. But sometimes it gets you off track. And they're trying to get back on track how they've been. New coach, new offensive coordinator, new defense coordinator. So really excited to see how that one plays out. That's going to be one to keep in mind.
Their former head coach, Coach Clack, is back in town. He's with UNC Charlotte, and they play Georgia State tomorrow night. He's now an assistant coach.
But he did a lot of work in Georgia, but we not welcome him back tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be on. Georgia State going to get him. But we wish Coach Clack the best.
Coach Clack the best. We had a Coach
every
Clack
other
back
day.
In town every other day. It's good to have him back.
It's great to have him back. Great guy.
Let's check in with Eric Slaughter.
This is a live sideline report.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's Friday Night High School Scoreboard Show. Eric Slaughter with a full stomach checking in here from Rockdale County High. And as we head into the third quarter, it's still all Wildcats. After putting up 20 in the first quarter, they come back in the second quarter and add on 21 to now have a score of 41-0 as we get ready to kick off here in the third quarter. And they're still dominating on both sides of the ball, both offensively and defensively. To be honest, the Bulldogs of Rockdale County don't have an answer for all the athletes that Lovejoy have brought up here tonight. But we'll see what happens here in the third quarter. If not, we're going to have a running fourth. We'll have a quick game. But we'll see what can happen. I'll stay tuned. I got some more of my sandwich here before I get back out here to do some more reporting. But I'm going to send it back to Chris and Sam and Day-Day and Dylan while I enjoy my good food. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
See.
Oh, I knew he wasn't going to let us down. Look, it's 41-0.
Yeah, but he's not sharing.
He's not sharing, yeah. I mean, not bringing any to us.
He ain't going to share any with us.
When it's 41-0,
yeah.
The barbecue sandwich at the concession stand is what you got to look for.
There we go.
But
the grilled barbecue sandwich is what he recommends.
It's fine, Eric. We got our own food.
Yeah, okay. Dylan takes care of us.
All right, there we go. We're in good shape. A couple of scores that I'm seeing here. Boy, one of Westlake and Newton. That's, again, third quarter score. Westlake up 21-14. That game, another game we're looking at, where West Forsyth is having their way with Cherokee.
Yeah, well, they are winning big. Mountain View, big win, 55-3 winner over Lanier. Now, wow. Lanier, typically, that's both Gwinnett schools. Mm-hmm. I would say most years, Lanier and Mountain View, pretty close game.
Yeah.
Mountain View, 55-3. That's a big win for Mountain View.
That is big for them, really big. I got a fourth quarter score, Westminster 17, Centennial 0. River Ridge 30-0 in third quarter score there with Woodstock and a game there being played up in Cherokee County. So those are some of the games we're keeping up with. Still more scores coming up. Going to have more updates. We're going to the next hour. My goodness, we're going to check in, hopefully, in the 10 o'clock hour here from Jeff Hood. He keeps an eye on things in the Athens area and Oconee County area. Get an update on those games there that's taking place in that part of our region. And also more from our reporters as well. We check in with them. We head for the 10 o'clock hour. And also, if you missed our school days guest, you get a chance to catch our conversation with Marcus McNeil. Really enjoyed talking with him. It's Pride in Cedar Grove as they are playing up at Mill Creek tonight. More scores, more highlights, more updates coming your way when you stay with us for the High School Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.